Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 75 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Hallie Adams.
We set out a goal of about 75 or 80% of our employees to be vaccinated.
Moorhead State employees are approaching an 80% vaccination rate.
AppHarvest hosted a World Food Day symposium this morning.
Court Days returns to Mount Sterling this weekend.
Connect Marketplace opened for Kentucky residents this morning.
Local hospitals are seeing a decline in COVID-positive patients.
In sports, it's homecoming weekend for Moorhead State.
Showers and possibly a thunderstorm tonight with a low around 54 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Nearly 80% of Moorhead State University employees have voluntarily reported that they are vaccinated. University officials have been using incentive methods, such as a drawing for a $500 stipend, to encourage members of the campus community to get vaccinated. President Dr. Jay Morgan says the university is also working with students and faculty within health-oriented programs that have a vaccine mandate. Morgan says some MSU employees may be required to be vaccinated through a federal mandate.
Now, we don't have anything in writing yet, but there is some language that seems to be swirling around with a number of federal agencies that could lean towards a possible requirement there. So we will let those folks know once we see that potential language and go from there.
Morgan reported that only 30% of students had voluntarily uploaded their vaccination cards as of October 1st.
AppHarvest held a World Food Day symposium Friday morning in Moorhead. World Food Day is an international day celebrated worldwide to commemorate the date of founding of the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization in 1945. Ashley Smith is the co-founder of Black Soul, an organization focused in reconnecting Black Kentuckians to their legacy and heritage in agriculture. Her organization is trying to increase minority businesses while addressing hunger and food insecurity locally.
Doing this work, we've encountered all types of farmers. And so bringing in more diversity and inclusion in our Eastern Kentucky region, we work with farmers of all ages, ethnicities. So we're really excited to see how COVID has given us this redefining pivot that has then allowed us to gain more legitimacy, relationships, so we can really hit it hard for the sustainability of our industry.
AppHarvest pledged to continue hosting World Food Day events annually. The company's founding mission centered on food accessibility.
Kentucky's oldest running festival, Court Days, is returning this year in downtown Mount Sterling. The festival started back in the early 1800s and has evolved since then with a lot of entertainment activities and hundreds of vendors. Tourism Director Tracy Pierce tells WKYT organizers tried to see if the pandemic would allow the festival to go on last year, but when it became apparent that it would not be safe, they decided to cancel and look forward to 2021.
COVID hit, and we knew that having this many people in one area was just not going to work. But as soon as the vaccine became readily available and anyone that wanted a vaccine could get a vaccine, and we started seeing all the other events being held, we were totally in agreement.
Pierce says the event is a huge boost for the local economy, filling up hotels and giving business to downtown shops and restaurants. The festival started today and will run through Monday.
St. Clair Healthcare is seeing a noticeable slowdown in COVID-19 hospitalizations. Officials say over the last month, the number of hospitalized patients have been cut nearly in half. Donald Lloyd is the president and CEO at SCH. He tells WKYT, his organization has seen numbers similar to the statewide trend.
At one time, we had 49 patients was our maximum here in the medical center, of which more than half of those were critically ill. Today, we have 20 patients.
Troops from the National Guard have been helping the hospital in different roles. They are expected to leave within the next month as positive cases continue to decline.
Out of nearly 50,000 COVID-19 cases in Lexington, 11% of those were children under the age of 14. According to the Kentucky COVID-19 Weekly Report, over 46,000 children under the age of 10 have tested positive for COVID. Dr. Sean McTeague is the medical director for pediatric infection prevention and control with the Kentucky Children's Hospital. He tells Spectrum News immunization and monoclonal antibody infusions are the number one way to fight off COVID-19.
Once that dose was found and tested in, in large numbers of kids, it was shown to be very, very safe and every bit as effective as those adult doses were for the adults and teenagers. So I would say that when this is authorized, I think that the right thing to do for children would be to get them immunized so that they can have that same protection that we've afforded to teenagers and adults.
McTeague says the FDA will meet at the end of October to review Pfizer's request for FDA approval of the vaccine in children ages 5 through 11.
Starting today, Kentuckians can log on to the Commonwealth's newly revived state-based health insurance marketplace known as Connect. The online portal, launched under former Governor Steve Beshear and shelved under Governor Matt Bevin, is set for a comeback. The marketplace will allow Kentuckians to access, compare, and purchase health plans or apply for food or utility assistance, job training, and veterans benefits. Current Governor Andy Beshear is also promising savings. His administration estimates the shift back to a state-based model will save $15 million in federal surcharges on premiums.
The savings are going to be passed to the people who actually buy off the state-based exchange. So everything the state is saving, the people are going to feel in terms of lower cost for coverage through the state-based marketplace.
The new plans take effect at the start of 2022. Enrollment runs from November 1st to January 15th.
Kentucky is losing social workers at an alarming rate, according to the Department of Community-Based Services, and officials are blaming a number of factors. Hundreds of DCBS staff members have left in the last year, and the rate is only increasing. Departures jumped more than 60% over the last 3 months as compared with the first 5 months of 2021. Officials say some causes of the high turnover are overwhelming caseloads, low pay, retirement, and better job opportunities outside state government. Republican Representative Ken Fleming says the shortage of workers is very troubling.
This is, as you say, this is an ongoing problem. And I feel like Bill Murray in the Groundhog Day, I keep waking up and seeing the same old problem without finding a solution. I'm getting rather concerned that there are children out there that aren't being taken care of.
While officials hope increased work flexibility, more use of virtual options, and a reduced brick-and-mortar presence may help, fixing the problems will take additional funding. Lawmakers will revisit the funding question when they return next year to hash out a budget. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling and the 5th Annual Howl at the Moon, 7 p.m. on Friday, October 29th. Halloween crafts, food, refreshments, and live music by Luna and David from Luna and the Mountain Jets. Food by Two Cousins Food and Catering, powered by LG&E and KU Foundation. Details online at grackentucky.org. Howl at the Moon at the Gateway Regional Arts Center, 7 p.m. on Friday, October 29th.
Lexington took a step toward approving accessory dwelling units, or ADUs, on Tuesday. Community members have been split over the proposed housing alternatives for years. ADUs come in different forms and go by a number of nicknames, from secondary suites to granny flats. The units, which can be created out of converted parts of existing homes or built as new attachments, are popular with affordable housing advocates and aging residents who wish to stay closer to family. But the idea has detractors, many of whom worry about their use as student housing, sudden increases in short-term rentals, neighborhood integrations, and parking. Councilman James Brown says the plan, which calls for a city review in a year, could reassure neighborhood residents who are wary of the new additions.
What I think a lot of people are concerned with is our ability as a city to enforce and to regulate these ADUs. So I think if we do it in a progressive type of format, then it will give us the ability to try to work to build trust in these neighborhoods and these communities where a lot of the neighbors are really concerned that misuse of ADUs would negatively impact their neighborhoods.
One controversial provision ultimately left out of the proposal was language allowing for detached units, also called tiny houses. Tuesday's unanimous Urban County Council vote in favor of the more limited ADU ordinance wasn't the last. Final approval could come in late October. The final verdict in a trial for a former UK student was announced Thursday. WMKY's Alyssa White has the story.
Jurors reached a unanimous decision in the trial of Jacob Heil. The 21-year-old was charged in the death of 4-year-old Marco Shemwell after a DUI crash in 2018. The jury found Heil not guilty on the reckless homicide charge and guilty on the DUI charge. Heil was 18 years old at the time and, according to prosecutors, had a blood alcohol level above the legal limit for minors when he was driving the car that hit and killed Marco. A video from the police interview following the crash showed Heil struggling with a sobriety test. The defense argued Heil was not impaired and that the car never veered into the grass. The Commonwealth's attorney Luann Redcorn told LEX18 she respectfully disagrees with the jury's verdict. The DUI charge has a fine of $500. For WMKY News, I'm Alyssa White.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, showers mainly before 8 a.m., otherwise steady temperatures around 58. Saturday night, mostly clear skies with a low around 41. Sunday, sunny with a high near 62. Sunday night, clear with low around 41. Monday, sunny with a high near 66. Monday night, clear with a low around 42. And for your Tuesday, sunny with a high near 70.
On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaf points out that a pilot announced to a cabin as a plane hurtles towards the ground, "Relax, you were scheduled to die eventually," and the passengers tweet their objections.
There is no safe environment, as they say in the military on the most unfortunate occasions. We are surrounded. Only in this battle, we cannot call in air support. No number of soldiers on the ground will guarantee our safe passage. No amount of fighting will end this war of nature on us, on you. Did you know that tens of thousands of people die each year just in the United States from hospital-induced infections? Infections acquired before, during, and after surgery. Acquired in recovery, maybe even acquired walking in or out of the place. Tens of thousands in just one year. But are we not safe? Back in the 19th century, some surgeons and other doctors started to wash their hands, ascribing to the radical new idea that invisible things can kill us. Hand washing reduced infection and related death significantly, an unequivocal good if the goal is to save and improve life for humans. One of nature's most potent, insidious weapons had been countered. Countered, not tamed. Since the days of Lister, nature has barely blinked, but we have convinced ourselves that we can be safe. Let's remember that subtle language exists to point out subtleties. We are not safe. We are safer. You know this, I know this, but for some reason we want to behave as if the failure to achieve complete safety is some kind of failure justifying the most drastic of measures. I honestly don't think it will be long before we are all wearing helmets. No, not just while cycling, all of the time. What is the case against helmets? Not enough people suffer for you or die from head trauma each year? Are you crazy? Are you craniophobic? The menage a tango between safety and security and freedom gets all of the attention. But what if we study only the dance between safety and security for a few seconds? Could it be that we somehow reduce our security as we clamor to achieve zero-based safety? This scourge shall never happen again, not to one child, not even one. I'm buying helmet stock. Have you noticed how right now you may be feeling a little ticked off because it sounds like your position is being attacked, even though I'm pretty sure I haven't taken any position but this one? The answer to the question,
is it safe?
Is,
no, it's not.
I'm John Modaf.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include The Works, Garden Fresh, Zesty Italian Trio, and Fiery Buffalo Chicken. Side item menu offers papadillas, chicken wings, garlic knots, and double chocolate chip brownies. Curbside pickup or delivery in Moorhead and Round County. Papa John's phone number is 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
It's 75 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Hallie Adams and Shamari Mosley, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Alyssa White has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this lovely Friday afternoon.
It's Morehead State's homecoming weekend, and there are plenty of games on deck. For WMKY Sports, I'm Melissa White. On a league-best five-matching winning streak and back near the top of the Ohio Valley Conference race, Morehead State Volleyball takes part in homecoming festivities this weekend by hosting UT Martin for a pair of league battles of the Birds. The Eagles are just a half match behind the Skyhawks in the OVC standings. Associate head coach Kirsten Beckner-McBride says after their road stint in Tennessee last week, the team is very happy to be back for homecoming.
We went down to Tennessee on Wednesday, and because of fall break and the bus time and everything like that, we were in Tennessee for, I think, 4 days. Seemed like a lot longer, so really excited to be home, and I cannot remember the last time our team has ever been home for a homecoming. And so it's nice that they get to also enjoy all the festivities that Morehead has planned this week.
The Eagles and Skyhawks will square off at 6 o'clock this evening, then again tomorrow at 11 a.m. The Rowan County Senior High School volleyball team wrapped up their regular season with a win streak. The Vikings defeated Greenup County on the road in three straight sets for their third consecutive win, but now is when everything counts. The 61st District Tournament gets underway in Fleming County Monday night. Coach Steve Walter says his girls will be going in blind when they face Menifee County in the first round.
We did not get to play them this year. It was they were quarantined and had to forfeit to us. I know that that coach over there is kind of dealing with some youth issues as well, is that she's got a fairly young team. So we'll roll in there and see what we can do there.
Rowan and Menifee will face off in Flemingsburg at 6:30. Fleming and Bath counties will play the late game at 8 o'clock. Morehead State Cross Country will send teams to two different meets this weekend. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
Seven members of the men's team will compete at the Florida State National, which is also serving as the pre-nationals today in Tallahassee, Florida, while the rest of the two squads will travel to Indiana for Saturday's University of Evansville Invitational. Eagle head coach Clay Dixon and sophomores Justin Chavez, Michael Dunnigan, Kyle Embry, Jarrett Forrest, along with freshmen Justin Bland, Toby Cook, Peyton Fairchild, and Kyler Stewart are in Florida. All seven of the Eagle men who were in Florida recorded PRs at last Saturday's Live in Louisville Classic and all ran sub-28-minute times. 2 years ago, Morehead State's women won the Evansville Invitational while the men took second. Most of this year's entries will be new to the meet, although sophomore Mary Alice Thornburg was the top finisher from 2019. Saturday's race will take place at the Angel Mound State Historic Site in Evansville. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Morehead State's football team is primed for a homecoming matchup with the Butler Bulldogs, who are looking for their first PFL win against the 2-0 Eagles. Morehead State will get the rare opportunity to face Butler three times in one calendar year this weekend. The Eagles and Bulldogs played twice during the spring season, with MSU winning both. Coach Rob Tenier says his guys are ready to take on the Bulldogs.
You know, Butler's got some guys out right now. They lost, I think, their best player here in the last couple weeks. But they always play hard. They're a tough physical team, and you're going to have to match your effort for sure, and that's what we're trying to do this week.
Kickoff from Jane's Stadium tomorrow is set for 3 o'clock. There's no Friday night lights for the Rowan County Senior High School football team this week. It's the team's off week for the season, and they're enjoying it on a high note. The Vikings are sitting on a 5-3 record after defeating district opponent Harrison County 50-28 last weekend. While his guys have some downtime, Coach Kelly Ford says he'll be checking out their next opponent.
That way I can go scout somewhere. You know, football's a grind. You know, and we kind of let them get back to themselves a little bit, and, you know, so they can be reloaded fresh for the last two.
Rowan will be on the road when they return to action next Friday. They'll be taking on Boyd County at 7:30. A pair of first half free kicks was too much for the Eagles to overcome as Morehead State fell on the road to Belmont 2-0 Thursday night. The loss drops the Eagles to 2-3-1 in league play, and is the first time Morehead State has suffered back-to-back losses in conference play this season. Coach Warren Lipka says the loss makes their next game just that much more of a must-win.
They're so important. We're trying to vie for one of the top four teams. That gives a first-round bye. Obviously the champion hosted and they get a double bye, but we're focusing to be on one of the top four teams so we can host at least that first round.
Next up, Morehead State looks to bounce back as they return to MSU Recreation and Wellness Field for homecoming against SEMO. The game kicks off at 2 o'clock Sunday. For WMKY Sports, I'm Alyssa White.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, scones, cookies, and cinnamon rolls. Lunch items feature signature sandwiches, braids, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., curbside delivery at 780-4282. Facebook and online at rutabakers.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rose as better-than-expected third-quarter earnings reports boosted the Dow Jones Industrial Average to its best weekly performance since June. And at the close, the Dow Industrials were up 1.1% at 35,294.76. The S&P 500 was up 0.75% at 4,471.37. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 0.5% at 14,897.34. Third-quarter earnings reporting season continued as Goldman Sachs results beat significantly on the top and bottom line, and the stock gained 3.8% and was the top gainer on the Dow. The stellar report came after earnings beats from the other big banks earlier in the week, such as those from J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Citigroup, which all topped expectations. And so far, 80% of the 41 S&P 500 companies that have reported earnings have topped earnings per share expectations. Retail sales posted a surprise increase in September, rising 0.7%. Economists going into the report were expecting a 0.2% decline. And elsewhere, Bitcoin crossed the 60,000 level as investors were optimistic about the chances of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission approving the first Bitcoin futures exchange-traded funds. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was App Harvest down 9 cents at 578, Marathon Petroleum up 12 cents at 6680, CSX up 73 cents at 34.16. CSX up 73 cents, or rather U.S. Bancorp up 15 cents at 60.23. And Kroger was down 53 cents to finish at 38.59. Reporting from the national offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Keneally Roberts, Alyssa White, Cassidy Stearman, Ethan Jenkins, Sarah Mead, and Shamari Mosley. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment this afternoon was from commentator Dr. John Modath. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Hallie Adams and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.